Bush and Richie here with your Daily Takeaway podcast. I need to tell you something that was a revelation to me this morning. You know, you get to a point in life where you kind of think, oh, you've seen everything.
Seen it all.
Nothing's new anymore. Saw something this morning that was new to me. So let me give you a bit of background. Trying to clamp down in this new school year of the time that Rocco is watching YouTube garbage.
Oh, dear. The biggest battle in our household, that is, at the minute.
It's horrific.
They just watch nonsense.
Utter nonsense. It's got to the stage where I say to him, turn that trash off. And he'll turn back and go, it's not trash.
It is. I tell you what. Sorry, Rocco. It is trash. And I tell you the worst thing about it. My two youngest watch what I would describe as AI dross.
Yeah.
Absolute nonsense.
Yes. Anyway. There's the background. So he's pivoted. And this morning, over breakfast, he was on ITVX and he's doing his current thing where he is binge watching old Mr. Bean. We're not talking the cartoon, we're talking the original Rowan Atkinson. We're not talking Mr. Bean Goes to Monte Carlo or On Holiday, any of the films. We're talking the original half an hour ITV back in the day, Mr. Beans. Here's the thing, right? I thought I'd seen them all. And this morning, an episode came on back in the day, all of the old stuff. It was an episode of Mr. Bean that I had never, ever seen. Wow, what a treat.
And was it good?
It was really good.
Because it's timeless, right?
It was absolutely timeless. He was at an adult learning centre that was kind of like almost a bit territorial army. His mini got run over by a tank at the end of it. he went and did some kung fu with David Schneider and was scared about it. It was absolutely brilliant.
Do you know what, in this world at the moment where there's so much awful stuff around and, you know, and everything's so cynical, etc. There's something kind of like a bit of a warm hug about Mr. Bean and that kind of slapstick humour.
Yeah.
You know? So good, well, fair play. I think he's stitched you up there. There's nothing, you can't say anything about it.
No, I can't, no.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.
Now, don't forget, we are looking for the ultimate noughties anthem. We need you to vote at absoluteradio.co.uk. And to make sure that we're equally profiling the noughties, here on Home Time this week, we have been focusing on each year one by one, but in a rhyming fashion. So
yeah, we do things differently on this show.
We do. On Monday, we asked you, what did you do in 2002?
It was really interesting to see what you guys were doing in 2002.
Yesterday, who was your mate in 2008?
We had an incredible lineup of interesting characters.
We have committed to rhyming years all week.
It's going to happen all week. I reckon we've got enough in the tank. And you know what would be the most amazing thing? The most amazing thing about the past 24 hours is you guys, because you're such lovely people, getting in touch with suggestions as to what other kind of rhyming noughties phone-ins we could do. And we had this answerphone message when we got in, and we absolutely love it. Have a listen to this.
Hi, Butch and Richie. It's Rob from Rochester here. I've got a brilliant idea for your next rhyming noughties phone-in. What about this? The number of your door in 2004. I reckon that'll work a treat, mate. All the best. See you later, boys.
Thank you, Rob. You heard it there. What about that then? Today we're doing the number of your door in 2004. Now, I've moved around a few times. I don't even think I know what my number was.
You and I have both moved around a lot of times.
A lot of times. That's an entirely different radio show.
Every time we've started another one of these rhyming noughties years, it started from both of us to get a little bit morose. Let's not do that.
Let's not start by having the piano version of EastEnders as someone leaves in a taxi cab. It's a bit of a downer, isn't it?
But can you remember your door number in 2004 number?
Genuinely, I can't. I'm going to have to work out where I was at that stage, where I was at large.
I can.
Can you?
Eah.
What was your door number?
So I'll start us all off.
Go on then.
What was my door in 2004? 25.
What a lovely round number. And can you remember anything about... I think the extra level of this, the added bonus, would be any other information about the door. Was it like a plastic door or wooden thing?
It was a white door on the side of the house and next door was a crematorium.
There you go. What a fantastic metaphor. What a metaphor for that era of your life.
And indeed, this topic.
Yes, indeed. So, you heard it from Rob, listener Rob. The number of your door anything about your door from 2004 and any information about the door, to be honest with you. It is fascinating.
It's always the stories behind the door that make it interesting.
It is the story behind the door.
Thank you.
Who would live in a house like this?
It's another impression.
I've done another impression.
This is your week of impressions and I'm here for it.
Our boss popped in to just jokingly suggest no more impressions today,
Bush. I don't think he was joking.
Oh, what time is it now? I've been in half an hour into the show. I've done one. Who'd have thought Lloyd Grossman as well?
I wouldn't have had money on that.
No one expects Lloyd. No one. Talk about one of the biggest pivots in celebrity history.
Yeah.
He's famous for doing, you know, through the keyhole or whatever. Yeah. Then he brings out a sauce.
I know. And then onto MasterChef as a result of that.
Unbelievable. 58 Golgotha Road in Lancaster, says this person. It was a student house shared with Matt, Abby and Stu, and I was in my last year at St Martin's College studying geography.
I love that.
That's a very big sounding road, isn't it? 58 Golgotha.
Andy the Van Man says my door in 2004 was 100, nice and easy, and what made it sweeter was right next door was the barber's, so I could get up early on a Saturday, get my hair cut and go to work.
I love that. Particularly if you've got a barber. You know, sometimes with in guys' barbers' places, you get one barber that's not very good. So you have to go in dead early to avoid him.
Point.
I'll wait for Paul. Bush and Richie, in 2004, we lived in a little mid-terrace ex-farm cottage called the Doghouse. Apparently, it was previously used to keep farm dogs in. As a bonus, we owned four cats, so our house plaque was the house name with a cat question mark over its head.
Love that.
Says Sarah.
And Pedro says the number on my door in 2004 was indeed a four. It was a wooden house, but now we're in the same house, but it's been rough casted.
What a particularly detailed bit of information about the way your door number is presented.
It's great, isn't it?
I tell you what I don't like is this fashion for overly large door numbers.
You're not a fan?
In Essex, can't move from. But that's a whole other radio show.
Gents, in 2004, the number on my door was 37. Nothing special about that. But when my parents ordered a new UPVC one, they forgot to include a letterbox. Henceforth, years of chasing the postie down the street for items that wouldn't fit in the small metal box bolted on the wall thereafter.
That's amazing. Imagine not having a letterbox.
I can't imagine a life without a letterbox.
Why don't we in England do that thing like they do in America where you go and get your mail from like a little birdhouse at the end of your garden?
Rains.
It's got a roof.
Yeah, but who'd want to walk out to the end of the path when it's raining?
Build a tunnel or sheltered area. You know, like that thing that comes out for Champions League games?
Yeah.
It's like an extending tunnel.
Extending tunnel, yeah.
Again, you'd probably be quids in for that. Dave in Bristol says, my door in 2004 was number 23. And he says, and listen to this, we had two white pillars. The first person in my family to have pillars.
Oh, hark at the pillars.
Yeah, I think it's the White House, Capitol Hill or something like that in Bristol.
Tanner in Gypsy Hill says, in 2004, my Streatham Hill door was number 32. Gorgeous ground floor flat below the worst neighbours on the street.
Oh, dear.
Teenagers who are the proud owners of subwoofers and terrible musical taste spent the whole of my pregnancy under them.
Subwoofer is a real technical term of an era, isn't it?
Certainly is.
Subwoofers.
Bronwyn, the number on your door in 2004...
I didn't have a door. I had a door, but I didn't have a number because I was living in a little house in a game reserve in South Africa.
Wow. So Bronwyn, are you phoning in to rule yourself out of tonight's phone-in officially? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
This time yesterday, we were having all sorts of problems with people who were misunderstanding whether they were sat behind or in front of someone, and now it's Bronwyn messing up the whole door phoner.
First Tom Jones and now South Africa. What is going on? Sean says number 10, it was a gorgeous flat where I, despite not believing in them, saw a ghost.
What?
Hold on a second.
How are we expected to move on from that?
Sean trying to watch Bargain Hunt while someone's rattling the chains out in the kitchen.
James had two doors in 2004.
What?
Not James, sorry, Joanne.
Okay. What's got James got to do with it?
Absolutely nothing.
Okay.
Just not wearing my glasses.
Oh, my God, was that the name of the ghost? It's bled through into the next story.
The next text. Joanne had two doors in 2004. Number 15 was a white door by a bus stop in Oxfordshire, then moved to Gibraltar, number 23.
Wow, she moved to Gibraltar. Yep. That's quite a gear change.
Isn't it?
Darren in Sandbach says, afternoon, Bush and Richie. My house number in 2004 was 2. It was my parents' house where I grew up in. It was the original door from the 70s when it was built. It was like a snot green colour. I was never given a key for the door, and you could open it with a stick through the letterbox if you locked yourself out the house.
Wow.
That's the 70s in a snapshot.
And how about this? Anyone who's good at maths, start working this one out. Emma in Devon, in 2004, my door number was 25. It was a white plastic door. Since then, I've moved 13 times.
No way.
Yes.
Was she in the, like, witness protection scheme or something?
I don't know.
That cannot be true.
Yeah.
Do the maths.
No name attached to this text. In 2004, my door was 214. I moved out in 2009. I'm now, as of last week, back at 214. Got to love divorce.
Oh, dear. We were waiting for that kind of slightly bittersweet moment.
It's taken a little bit of time.
That kind of stare into the mid-distance. Yeah. There you have it. And on a lighter note, and taking that rhyme one stage further, Rob in Borough says, in 2004, my door was 44. And guess what? I was in year 4.
Oh. Danny in Guildford says, at the start of 2004, my door was number 14, but by the end of it, it was number 1.
Wow.
As I moved in with the guy who lived opposite me.
Yeah.
Who's now my husband of 18 years.
There you go. Love via the number. Told exactly. Through the story of the numbers of front doors.
Powerful.
We've had a load of texts on this. We really appreciate it. We've had a text from someone called Rosie with a very interesting story. So we thought we'd give her a call back. And I think she's there right now. Rosie, are you there?
Hello.
Is Rosie there? It's Bush and Richie.
Yeah, hold on, I'll hand you over.
Oh, lovely.
Okay.
Bush and Richie, they meant to talk to you.
Rosie? Rosie?
Rosie, we don't bite.
My mum, she's standing with me now, she's a bit nervous.
Oh,
it's all right, don't worry.
How old is Rosie?
Too old.
Too old?
Too old?
Okay. Okay. Yeah. This is one of the trickiest calls we've had.
By the way, I absolutely love your programme. You could be on 24 hours a day, and that's not enough.
Oh,
well, that's very kind.
I'm sure our boss, Paul, feels exactly the same way.
Yeah.
Rosie, we're intrigued. Tell us about your number on your door.
Well, I lived in Burgess Hill for about 20-odd years at number 51.
Right.
And then I moved to where I am now. That's number 51. And my sister, her house at one time was 51. And we've got also going, nothing to do with front doors, we used to be able to pick number plates when we bought a new car, and we used to pick 51 as on the number plates.
Holy
wow.
And we've got personalised number plates now, and they've got 51 on.
Wow. Rosie, it's almost annoying that the lottery balls don't go up to 51.
Yes.
Well, exactly, yes.
So it's your lucky number? Rosie, would you say it would be your lucky number?
No, I've got no lucky numbers. I don't have any lucky life. So this has just made my year totally, this has.
What has?
Talking to you us.
Really?
You talked to me.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
Rosie.
We're welling up here. Well, we really appreciate you listening. So thank you very much. We love you. You take care.
Yeah, thank you very much for phoning back.
Bless you. See you later.
Bye.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.
So we've been asked to do an audit as to where you guys are on a Wednesday evening between the hours of 6 and 7.
Mm.
So we need you to be very specific. Are you home or not home, in the house, not in the house, and why? And one of you tonight is going to win yourself a much-coveted Home Time and British Gas doormat.
Now, this is a very efficient start to our audit because we've got the whereabouts of two people here.
Oh, great.
Andy from Basingstoke, but also you can put a mark against his daughter Amy as well.
Okay, yeah.
Neither of them home. They're on their way to Wembley to watch Bon Jovi.
Oh, wow. What about that?
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, I appreciate him texting in, but Andy's got a tag anyway, so we know where he is most
of
the time.
Yes, that's a good point, yeah.
At least the local council do. This one here, not home, driving from Bicester to Lincoln for my daughter Hannah's graduation tomorrow.
Oh!
I graduated from university, and I didn't throw the hat. I feel bad that I never got to throw the hat.
Did you have a hat?
I think I had a hat. They make you dress as like a flipping wizard, don't they, for some reason when
you do.
Graduate.
And what I never appreciated is you hire it. I hired my cloak, I hired my mortarboard.
Yep.
I chucked it in the air and then went.
See, I did all the hiring, but none of the throwing.
Wow.
I see people doing it all the time now. If you lived in Bristol for years, can't move for posh students throwing their hats in the air.
I tell you what we need to do.
What?
I tell you what we need to do. We need to go back in time and we need to recreate it and give you the chance outside this building here to throw your hat.
Well, if we've got any show budget left, I'd like to go back to Swansea University.
That could be a problem.
Okay.
Rachel on the Wirral is not home because she's currently on her way for the last ever Wednesday Club with her friend Erica on the Horses as she's moving to Australia on Saturday.
Is her friend called Erica on the Horses?
It's really confusing, isn't it?
It really is.
Is her surname on the Horses or are they both going to Wednesday Club on horseback?
Yeah.
Or is the Wednesday Club called On the Horses?
But or her friend Erica could just be nicknamed amongst her group of friends. That was On the Horses Erica. She always steams in.
Rachel, I think we need more info.
She steams in, and I tell you what, she loves a couple of cubes of sugar. What about this one here as well? Daz in Leicester says, not home, picking the dog up from the vets. And he adds in block capitals, up the toffees. Is right, fella.
Right, okay.
That'll fast track you. Keep them coming in. This text here from Nikki says, now this is interesting. So earlier on we were talking about some people who are on the way to go and watch their kid graduate.
Yes.
Which is great. And I just said that I graduated from university but never got to throw me hat in the air.
A tale of woe.
It's a tale of woe. Nikki has been on. She says, hi both. I work at Swansea University, which is where I went to university. She says, I'm sure I could assist to recreate the graduation hat throw.
Oh, brilliant.
I'd love to go down there.
Let's do it.
To Wales and throw me a hat in the air.
We'll make it happen.
Down of the Mumbles or something.
We'll make it happen.
Watch this space. Thank you, Nikki. That's great.
Dave in Shrewsbury is not home, spreading digestate. It says, what's that? I hear you ask. It's a product of bioelectricity production used as fertiliser by farms.
Who's that? Who's that person?
Dave in Shrewsbury.
I think Dave's going to get a knock on the door from MI5 within the next 24 hours. Kirsty says, I'm not home. I'm sadly driving home from Dundee after dropping my son off to his new flat for his second year of university.
A lot of uni stuff going on, isn't there?
He'll be back soon with a load of washing, don't you worry about it.
And then Bob says, I'm not home. I'm stuck in work for another 2 hours. I'm counting down the minutes until I can see my girlfriend. I've not seen her for over a week, and that's later this evening. That is Bob McVeigh from Kirkintilloch.
Okay, brilliant. Is that an actual place, is it?
What, Kirkintilloch?
I'd like, Bob, can you get back in touch? Why have you not seen your girlfriend for a week? What's been going on? Has she been away? Have you been working too much? Do you need to redress your work-life balance?
A lot of questions.
Very few answers.
Kirsty, are you home or not home?
Not home.
Not home. So you're out somewhere, maybe going to like a nightclub or for a nice dinner or something like that, Kirsty? Is that what you're doing?
No, I'm actually up at my stables because my horse has a dentist tonight.
Your horse has the dentist tonight?
Yes.
So, first question. So, obviously, you're up at the stable. So, are horse dentists mobile then? Or you don't go to, or you don't take the horse to a dentist?
Well, it doesn't go in a waiting room and read an old magazine.
With a fish tank in the corner.
No, unfortunately not. No, the dentist comes to us, yeah.
Wow. And then, can we ask the name of your horse?
He's called Charlie.
So, what's going on with Charlie then? Has he got, like, dentures? Or has he got a cavity?
No, he's just an old man that needs his teeth checked, so he does have gaps in his teeth and stuff, but no, just a general checkup for him, to be fair.
Oh, fair enough. Okay.
Do you have to brush his teeth with a toothbrush then or something?
No, I don't need to do anything like that. He kind of just does it himself, but no, we don't need to do that. He's got stuff that he can play about with in the field that helps him do that himself.
Okay, well, that's pretty cool. And does he have like... Do the dentist give him like a little glass of like that weird pink liquid to swirl and spit back out again?
Well, you'd be surprised pretty much. They've rinse out his mouth and all that, and they've got like electric tools that they file their teeth down with and stuff like that, so yeah.
Kirsty, I don't want to look thick, but maybe I am.
It's a bit late for that.
Just to go back, I asked, do you have to brush his teeth? And you went, no, he does that himself. Can you clarify how he's brushing his teeth?
I know, I realised when I said that how it sounded. No, it's just that when he's out and about eating and stuff like that, he loosens anything in his teeth himself that way. But I realised as soon as I said that.
That would have been a
sounded.
Britain Got Talent one otherwise.
All I can hope for is that if the dentist does an x-ray on him tonight, he has to put a pair of sunglasses on and make the dentist walk around the corner of the barn. Well, listen, we love the scenario that is unfolding right here for you, Kirsty. So we want to award you the Home Time and British Gas home welcome mat. What about that?
Oh, that is fantastic. That's made this call worth it. Oh.
Okay.
Oh, damned with faint praise.
Absolute Radio.
Absolute Radio. The Daily Takeaway.
There's the show. Hope you enjoyed it. You know, like a lot of the times we brainstorm or workshop potential phone-ins for the show here on the podcast intro. You've just mentioned Rocco binge-watching old TV shows. We should do a phone-in. We call it maybe Old Head on Young Shoulders.
Okay, how's this work? I like it.
If you've got a kid that is into something that's of like a different era.
I like that.
So maybe they're watching, maybe you've got a kid that's absolutely obsessed with One Foot in the Grave.
Yeah.
Or something that is not of their era. It's Old Head on Young Shoulders.
Old Head, Young Shoulders. Listen out for it on a Home Time show in weeks to come.